Ben returned to the driver's seat, grabbed a sextant, and hoisted himself onto the roof. He paused to gulp the fresh air, a respite from the funk of mold, sweat, exhaust, and human sewage in the cabin below. He noted the angle of the sun on the horizon and checked his watch. Above him, something caught his eye. A whirlpool of wispy clouds in the shape of a miniature hurricane floated calmly above Halfsafe. Ben watched as they passed over him, then floated off. He crawled back into the Jeep and steered east. The next half hour was calm. Then the rain came, followed by wind and waves. By afternoon, the swells had risen to 30, 40, even 50 feet. There was nothing miniature about the storm, Ben realized. This was a full-on hurricane, and the Carlins were in the middle of it. The ocean looked as if it were smoldering. The Jeep was flung up over the crest of the waves and down the other side so violently that Ben and Eleanor were shot from their seats into midair. The fuel tank broke loose. Ben watched as it bobbed in the spindrift, then disappeared into the darkness. He had no other option but to gun the engine and try to run before the storm. By evening, the swells had gotten bigger. It was only a matter of time before the roof collapsed and the cabin flooded. Ben turned to Eleanor and made her scream the escape procedure in his ear. "You shout out!" she yelled, her voice straining above the rain and waves beating on the steel walls of the cabin. "I get out and wait. You follow and grab the gear. I follow you. Keep in contact." Ben steadied himself in the driver's seat, lit a cigarette, and gripped the steering wheel. Too weak to move, too nervous to speak, Eleanor sat silently on the back cot. They felt the sea below their feet inflate like a giant lung. They sat and waited and braced themselves for the next hit. Around 3 a.m. the following day, the motor sputtered, then stopped. Gas vapor entered the engine compartment. Ben watched as an explosion of orange and red flame appeared through the windshield. He was sure it had blown a hole in the side of the Jeep. That meant the next wave that hit would swamp the cabin and drown them. "This is it! Out!" he shouted to Eleanor. Another wave hit, knocking Ben to the floor. He stumbled through the rear hatch. The Jeep was somehow still afloat. There was no hole. He stood there on the roof, blasted by the wind and rain, dumbfounded. Had the days of sleeplessness finally caught up with him? Was he hallucinating? Eleanor stuck her head through the hatch, but Ben shoved her back in the cabin. He returned to the driver's seat and turned the engine over. It started. He drove blind for the next 24 hours. The storm worsened. At first, the big swells exploded against the Jeep every half hour. Soon they came every 15 minutes. Then every 5. Ben turned on the radio above Eleanor's cot and tapped out a message in Morse code. XXX. It meant, "Important, please listen." The antenna was broken, he knew, but maybe, by some miracle, the signal would get through. He typed it again, and again. Another wave hit, then another. Ben pulled the lighter from his shirt pocket and lit another cigarette. Eleanor watched the Cherry dance in the darkness, wondering which of the waves detonating against Halfsafe's windshield would be the one to finally burst in. Through the passenger side curtain, they watched the sky darken. They felt the ocean below them lift the Jeep stories high, then launch it into the air. Ben tumbled, his cigarette arcing across the dashboard like a rescue flare shot into a moonless night. The window went black. Halfsafe climbed another wave. Chapter 2, Perth, November 2011. A patchwork of sun-bleached stucco walls, wandering roads, and corrugated steel roofs flashed past the passenger car windows along the Trans-Perth rail line. Soon the train came to a stop, and the conductor called out East Guildford Station. I grabbed my bag and followed a group of boys in navy jackets, shorts, and red ties across the pedestrian overpass that led to the back gate of Guildford Grammar School. Behind a white picket fence stood a small brick cottage that housed the school's archives. The archive librarian, Rosemary Waller, welcomed me in. Along the back wall of the main reading room were shelves overflowing with antique books, bottles of wine, and a few framed photographs. A hat rack held old pith helmets, cricket jerseys, and army hats festooned with medals. The opposite wall was covered with century-old newspaper clippings, handwritten letters, and photos. One clipping caught my eye. It showed a black-and-white photograph of Ben and Eleanor's amphibious Jeep. "Could you imagine living in that thing?" Waller said. "It must have been just horrible." She directed me to a wooden desk piled with 4 stacks of photo albums,